Hello and welcome to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in. This is our 208th episode. I hope you are doing well, getting a chance to really get out there and do something creative this week, whatever that might be. This week, I wanted to talk about something pretty foundational, I think, to our approach to photography. And it's something that gets written about a lot and gets discussed a lot. I hear people ask about it a lot. And that's the sense of seeing in a photograph, the sense of seeing something in the world, finding my own special thing in the world, the thing that I see that nobody else notices. We hear that a lot. We hear, go out and photograph the things that nobody else notices or the things that nobody else sees and reflect yourself back into that. And I've been thinking a lot about that because it's an interesting, it's an interesting position to take, that seeing is something that we acquire or it's something we evolve into. And at the same time, that there's some sort of skill set that's required for that. And that's kind of the area I wanted to talk a little bit about, because I think to see is more than it's a technical piece. We don't technically see how to see. And what I mean by that is when we look at photographs and we talk about seeing, we think about things like composition, and we might address the composition. Oh, that was well seen. I love the composition. I love the way the lines flow into each other. I love how the use of perspective is done. I like these, how it's weighted to the left side of the frame, or the engaging the rule of the thirds. And we use all of these nomenclatures for understanding a composition and why a composition might be effective, as if it was well seen, as if the scene by the individual was good. I also teach in my color class, we spend a lot of time really learning to see color. I think if I had one goal in that class, it would be the idea that we need to see the actual color, not the accidental color. We want to see the local color. And the difference between that is the local color is the actual color of the object. The accidental color is the color caused by the light falling on it. And what we need to reconcile is the ability to see and identify the difference between those. We want to be able to identify what really is the color that's happening and how is my understanding of that color informative to my way of seeing the scene. So if I look at a landscape, or I look at a sunset, or look at a portraiture, and we have that beautiful warm light. Well, it's not just warm light. There's elements of coolness that comes into there as we get farther from the source of the light, as shadow is created. How are all those things coming into play in terms of how we understand and see what's happening in the photograph? So there are times when we need to learn to see, and there are skills to acquire to see, but seeing is not about, like I said, compositional elements. Those are informative pieces to help us understand why we respond to something or why it has a pleasing effect on us. But it doesn't speak to how we go about seeing something, how we identify with something, or how we approach our own being in the world. And that, I think, is one of the things that we, as photographers as a whole, have missed a big chunk of the conversation. And I think the reason for that is seeing is actually pretty uncomfortable. It requires us to dig deeper into our emotional wellness and our emotional unwellness and our psychology and who we are to identify why we respond to certain things, why we react to certain things, why we have displeasure over certain things, why we have joy that resonates from some things. Seeing is not so much the physical aspect of seeing. It's not the, like I said, it's not how we compose. It's more how do we experience, how do we feel, how do we respond to all of the stimulus that's around us. And so sometimes a photograph is more about action that did not occur within the frame, or it's about a moment of tension, or it's about weather. Maybe it's cold. You look at a photograph and it just has the essence of feeling cold, or it has a distance to it. And we could try to rationalize out how the composition came to play, how the colors came to play, how the tonal values came into play. But that doesn't explain how the photographer was able to record the events in front of them in such a way that we believe that photographer saw something unique, that photographer saw something special. If it is more than just our eyeballs and the understanding of something technical, what is our response to understanding how we evolve into that? And I think that's the interesting part of the conversation. Because one of the things about seeing is it's presented as this mountaintop we achieve. We climb to the top of the mountain, we plant a flag, we declare ourselves, the ability to see has been conquered. But what's interesting about, I think, everybody is I am no more the same person I was this morning than I will be tomorrow. I am ever evolving and ever changing. Every conversation I have, everything I see, every event that happens in my life, they all somehow have an impact and they all mold and shape and push me in a different way. It is that engagement with the environment around me that's shaping me that I want to connect into so that I can effectively see, so that I can effectively create. If you think about sketching, if you think about painting, the light's changing, it may take weeks or months for you to actually complete a piece of art, a piece of work, something you're interested in. It doesn't have that momentary instant response. So how is it when you start sketching on something that's going to take you 3 or 4 days? How is it that you respond differently to that over time? Why is it when you take a photograph and you edit it and it takes you several days to edit or weeks or months or, you know, in my case, sometimes years to edit the photograph the way you want? Why is it that that response, that engagement that we feel in our gut to knowing that it's going the direction we want, how is it that we are unable to get ourselves present all of the time to that? And it's because we're different every day. We grow and evolve and change, and we have new information that we haven't fully processed. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got with photography and editing a photograph is sometimes you take the photographs, you're not yet ready to edit. When I was younger, I used to think what that meant was I didn't have the technical skills to edit that photograph. So it was about learning darkroom technique. It was about learning something in Photoshop. When the reality is, you know, outside some boundary conditions, there's not a whole lot you need to know to make a good photograph, technically. Once you get into the darkroom, it's dodging and burning. If you're in Photoshop, for the most part, there's a few techniques everybody uses. It gets 99% of the photographs. So there's something else in that notion of, are you ready for the photograph? And what I've come to realize is that I had experienced something, I had seen something that was beyond my understanding within myself. I was making photographs that I was, you know, for a little woo-woo on the side, a little cosmologically in tune with, but yet I didn't fully understand how to respond to those. I didn't have yet the experience in life to create the image that ultimately needed to unfold out of that. That is one of the reasons why I think when we look at our photographs and we delete photographs and we purge photographs because we don't necessarily think they're good, might be an error in the making. It might be that sometimes a photograph that is misunderstood becomes important to your understanding of who you're evolving into as an artist. They are, in fact, a germination point for how your scene is going to change, how your scene is going to awaken in you in a different way. As we morph, shift, change, and process this information, as we create more photographs, and as we spend the time to go out and look at what scene actually means, which is beyond form, which is beyond composition, it is moments that are seized, it is moments that are admired, it is moments that are cradled and held and loved. It is in that experience of being outside of ourselves and connected into something that becomes more universal. And what's interesting is even photography that I don't really care for necessarily as a genre, when the photographer sees well, when the photographer is present and mindful and creates something out of their experience, the photograph still will resonate with me, even if it's in a genre that I don't normally look at. And I think that's the interesting part about all of the scene elements. It's the thing we can sniff out. We sniff out the technically pure, but devoid of meaning. And we are willing wanting and desire to bend over backwards for the other element of photography, the other element of art, that sense of realizing that beauty in the world that we express through our art, even in the grotesque photographs sometimes that get created, the beauty of being in that sense of seeing, that sense of growth, that sense of awareness, hyper-awareness to how we are as people is really foundational to that approach. Unfortunately, what I think a lot of people get caught up in, and what I found myself getting caught up in for years, was that there is a technical way around this. There is no need to process. There is no need to be aware of what is actually happening within me and how I respond to that world. Because if I get enough cameras, skills, techniques, I can make interesting photographs. And what I can make are sterile and technically proficient photographs. But they become nothing but another sunset. They become nothing but another flower. They become nothing but another portrait. And yet when I look at photographs that connect, even if the technique isn't there, the response to the photograph is there. I know that when I look at somebody's photograph, that when I see them seen, when I see the way they look through the camera and how the world looks back at them through the camera, that the photograph was well received, the moment was well received, and the power of that click was well received. And I think that's really at the core of what we attempt to do is we want to see well. We want to create well. We want to be well. We want to be who we are. And that's art's greatest challenge, is the challenge for self-risk to self-expose those parts of ourselves that sometimes we don't want people to look at. We don't want people to see. For whatever reason, when we see well is when we allow those points to resonate and connect with the work. It is a struggle I think all of us have, and if you're not having it, you will have it, and if you are having it, you will pass through it, because it's always a fluid motion. Like I said, you are always changing and evolving. The struggles I had yesterday are less than they were today, and I've made up new ones today for me to have tomorrow. But through all of that, finding that sense of what is it about, getting a chance to see the world, getting a chance to operate in the world in a unique way, to build unique relationships, to build real relationships, not just with the things that I photograph, but the everyday environment I'm in. Because that is the thing, as Dorothea Lange says, the camera teaches us how to see, not for the photograph, but for the way we live our life. I hope you get a chance this week to really sit down and think about your approach to your photography. And if you're stuck in thinking about composition, how to build technique, really think about why is that? What is it that you really think is missing in your work? And if you're a person who is on that high side of the mountain and you're feeling great about things, take notice of what your kinesthetic feeling is and your auditory and all your senses and what they're telling you about your work so that you know what to listen for in those times when it gets frustrating and quiet. I hope you have a great week and get a chance to get out there and do something amazing, do something creative, do something quiet and meditative, kind of wherever your Zen bliss is. I hope you get to fulfill whatever that is that you need. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, Podcast Town. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't even know if there is a Podcast Town, but you can find us in all sorts of places that podcasts are found. Give us a rating up there. We'd really appreciate it. That helps other people find the podcast. And I will see you next week.